Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael or myself or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, August the 30th, 2016. And our call-in number, at least for the next 3 days, is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Now, starting Thursday, September the 1st, our call-in number is going to be, so please mark this down, 516-418-5786. 516-418-5786. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We are on track here at Heartland, day 2 of Laws of Living Intensive. Thank you to everyone who created support for Tracy's meditation last night. It was a pretty powerful, pretty awesome space, and things are just rocking here. We're moving forward with laws of living. So honored and delighted to be sharing these tools with you. And we'll be filling in the intensive dynamics as they go along, as we move forward. As usual, the food is awesome. Ari's down there with everybody in the kitchen just creating all these fabulous tastes. So we are blessed. We are blessed. And we're honored that you're with us today to share these first century Aramaic forgiveness tools and to bring forward into the world these dynamics of, I want to say healing, but it's really not healing. It's really the dynamics of wholeness. You know, in the ancient teachings, when they talked about being holy and the non-being mind has a cheap copy of everything that's real in the spiritual dimension. The non-being mind's cheap copy of holiness is get down on your hands and knees, or get down on your knees and fold your hands, and that's holiness. And I offer that's just a total fraud. That's not holiness. Some of the most unholy people are going around on their knees with their hands folded. Excuse me, if your mind's filled with hostility and fear, there's no holiness there in the sense of that cheap copy of holiness. But the real holiness is the wholeness. Those people who come from a totally connected space of being. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what that space of being it is. It is this sweet, awesome presence of love that we are each designed to live as and function out of. David Bohm, the physicist that you've heard me speak about before, as a physicist, you know, he's tied right into and right in alignment with Einstein, who says, if you think you're separate or separated from the rest of humanity, you're living in an optical delusion. The picture world that our mind shows us reflects what we've been taught. And we've been taught, you're over there and I'm over here. There's no connection between us. So I can lash out and hurt you, and I'm not doing anything to myself. The truth is, there is, in David Bohm's terms, unbroken wholeness. Now, the regulatory speech isn't so hot on that, but hey, that goes back 40 years or so ago, so we can let go of any judgment in that regard. But just the fact that he's seeing there is this connectedness. In the ancient teachings, they talked about, and this isn't a religious idea, they talked about the mystical body of Christ. And that was that every one of us is a cell in one body. And when we are functioning as we are designed to, as love, then that one body wakes up to the presence of love, expresses the presence of love, the energy in which we live, move, and have our being, and are designed to express. When we fall out of grace, when we fall out of wholeness, then we tend to feel the pain of that loss. And most pain of that loss with alcohol, with drugs, with hatred, with vengeance, with rage, and all the hosts of drugs that this culture in particular is totally filled with. I mean, this culture is so drug-ridden. Even medical doctors and university professors who work in the medical profession, who've been paid for years by Big Pharma, they're coming forward and saying, we're just too drugged. We're killing ourselves with these things. You know, we need to get drug advertising off of television and back in the zero point where it belongs. And if a doctor decides that a drug is necessary, then let that doctor decide. Doctors don't need the pressure of somebody coming in and saying, oh, I saw this pill on TV. I think it might be for me. And we need to prohibit Big Pharma from spending $40,000 a year per doctor in order to push their products on him. That's what drug pushers do. And sadly, the pharmaceutical industry is not about creating healing. It's about creating customers. Posted on my Facebook page last week, there's a drug, and I don't even remember what it was for, but in India it costs $100 a pill. In America, it costs $80,000 a pill. Now, come on, folks. We got to wake up and recognize what this is about. And when we come back to wholeness, what we'll find is we won't need the pharmaceutical intervention that keeps us from feeling our symptoms, but rather we will love the feelings of our symptoms, because in wholeness, the symptoms are aliveness, joy, creativity, and moving forward in such an exciting way. I just really loved the example that Julie gave to us yesterday. She called in a couple of days ago, and of course she's called several times and carrying this load, and her aunt in the process of getting ready to leave her body, and it's just trauma city. And Claudia, a nice breath session, a powerful way of holding a space, Claudia Androcki and Dr. Androcki out in Pahrump, Nevada, and took her through a breathing session in which she called yesterday. If you didn't listen to that show, go back and listen. It's like, I'm not in trauma about my aunt getting ready to die. She's getting ready to die, and that's okay. I can be a space of love for her. And in fact, we're joking and having fun, and you know, in her lucid moments, we're in love. We're in the truth of who we are as human beings. There is no requirement for anything other than the active presence of love if we do the work of reconnecting to our wholeness. You know, tomorrow we'll do Recovery Wednesday. And recovery is about recovering the being that we are, the truth of who we are, and functioning out of that. And we're designed to feel in our physiology out of our connectedness to love. When we disconnect from that and we put the thumbprints of the world, the hostility, the fear, the rage, the guilt, the grief, the drama, and the trauma into our structures, then we heal out of, or pardon me, we feel out of hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, and trauma. And people go, boy, life is really traumatic. It's like, no, life is such an awesome, awesome, powerful gift. If you haven't seen the film, it's actually, oh, geez, I think it's 30 years old now. It's called Awakenings. Robin Williams and, let's see, who was it, Jeannie? Oh, Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro, they start out with him as a young boy, and he has an encephalitis attack and becomes basically a vegetable. So for 30 years, he's in this insane asylum where, you know, there are two dozen people who are all pretty much the same. They're just zombies. And Robin Williams plays the doctor, kind of a reclusive kind of guy, and he decides there's a solution, and he finds a solution. He actually recognizes that there's a shortage in the brain because of this early stage infection that creates an Alzheimer's-like condition, and he starts giving these people L-DOPA. And the L-DOPA starts to restore their awareness. So here, after 30 years, Robert De Niro, and he plays his part so powerfully, comes out of this literal trance that he's been in where he can't speak, he can't dress himself, he can't comb his hair, he can't do anything. And all of a sudden, he becomes fully functional. And it's based on a true story. I lament that the doctor involved did not have the tool of forgiveness, because it demonstrates very powerfully that when De Niro, and he plays it, as I say, so well, De Niro all of a sudden realizes that he's not a boy of 11 anymore. He's a man of, 40, and he's attracted to a woman who he meets at the hospital and wants to enter into a relationship, and he's sharp and he's creative, and at one point he goes to Robin Williams and he's like, "We need to wake people up. Life," he's like, "life, I've been asleep for 30 years. Life is just so exciting. Well, everybody's walking around like they're in a trance. And I mean, you doctors, you don't have any life, doc. You're a dead man." And the doctor's this kind of reclusive guy who doesn't relate well to people. And De Niro is just like, "What a precious gift I have. I have a life." And so many people have forgotten. You get a chance to live as the active presence of love, and we give it up to the temperance of the world too easily. The beauty of understanding these tools is that the active presence of love, the state of being, is eternally shiny and new and is not touched by anything that happens to us. So it doesn't matter how much trauma, how much abuse you've been through, how much abuse you've done, what horrible, hateful, vicious, rageful things you've done or have been done to you. It doesn't matter. If you choose to clean those things out, and cleaning them out means forgive. Not let other people off the hook because of what they've done, but literally remove the energetic dynamics from yourself. And when you do that, being is shiny and new again. It is fully expressive. And it's there for every one of us, 24/7, 365. And that's what we're here to restore. That's what we're here to make people aware of, give the tools, and create the support for actually experiencing that. If you haven't accessed especially the forgiveness process, which is the core tool we teach, then we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And the first two words at the top of the page are "start here." Click it. Just click on "start here." It'll open a whole series of links. It'll walk you right through the forgiveness process. There are at least 16 radios, or I think 17 radio shows now, with one that Tim added a couple of weeks ago, that are just awesome at real live people calling in with real life problems and being walked through step by step the forgiveness process. So if you've picked up the words and you've gone, "Oh, I don't understand, so I'm not doing them," go listen. There's 17 hours of free instruction on how to use that sheet. It will change your life. It will change your life so dramatically you can't even think that high until you do it. Listen to Julie yesterday on the show and the shift she's gone through. Listen to Roma on the show yesterday. Listen to her 2 months ago, and then listen to her voice. Shiny and new, standing and being. Listen to my niece, Michelle, when she called in a few weeks ago, and her first calls of the trauma that she's in. She called in yesterday. Listen to her voice on the show yesterday. Alive, vital, shiny and new presence of being in physiology. I don't care what's bothering you in your world today. I don't care how traumatic it is. I don't care how insane it is. I don't care how much you think everybody else in the world is the problem. If you'll pick the tools up, you will return to a life of being, of a bright, shiny state of love, that can't be touched by the world. So that's what we're here to share with you, and we're honored and delighted that you're here to be part of it. Dr. Tim, are you with us today, and how do you be, sir?
I cannot get the studio open.
Oh, okay. Jeannie has got some challenges. I don't know, Tim, if you're back there or not, but Jeannie is having some online challenges here. Technology, what can we say? It's so great when it works. And she's not able to open the chat room, or the studio even. So I guess that's why I'm not hearing your voice, because you can't get on if she can't turn you on in the studio. So if either Dr. Tim or Michelle are out there, if you wouldn't mind signing in and at least starting it up so the control panel's on, and we can say hello to people. But beyond that, here we are. Well, Jeannie's going to keep trying to sign on, and we'll see if Tim comes sailing in, or maybe Michelle. And beyond that, we're just moving forward with stepping into the understanding of, did I hear someone back there in the background? No, I thought I did. Stepping into a 16-day experiential process of using the tools. And what most people experience in that 16 days, well, we get reports for people who need to lose weight that the average person loses between 20 and 25 pounds, which is kind of a nice benefit for those who are looking to trim themselves. And for people who need to gain weight, we're told that they gain weight. So we have people who come here and, gee, you know, I've been trying, and all of a sudden I'm gaining weight. How cool is this? So it isn't all about diet. It's all about what happens in the mind. We're eating this awesome gourmet vegetarian fresh and raw food, and it's interesting to watch dyed-in-the-wool meat eaters who come here terrified. It's like, I'm not going to chew on a piece of dead cow for the next 16 days. I can't imagine that I could do that. And about the third day, they're like, my God, I'm so full. If I could eat this way all the time, if I could do this, if I prepared this at home, I'd be eating this way all the time. And of course, part of the experience of the intensive is you get to put your hands on the food, you get to understand the food, and how to put it together and make these awesome, awesome dishes. So, and we, of course, have a book called Recipes, where we've got, I think, if I remember correctly, something like 265 recipes, Jeannie. And if you're interested in recipes, there are a few cooked recipes in the book, too, but primarily it's the last 25 years of efforting getting the favorite recipes that have come to Heartland down pat and making them available so people can make them at home. So if you if you're interested in that and you don't have that available to you, then you might want to jump on the website. There's a link to products, and the recipes book is $25. It's huge. I mean, we're not a long way from costing that much to print it, but it's got a wealth of food information. There's a food combining chart that introduces people how to manage their digestion by the way they combine foods. There's information about all the different kinds of sweeteners and what they do to the body and what goes on with them. There's information. There's a gentleman who created a chart for hot peppers that gives the heat and explains a little bit about the Scoville scale for heat on peppers. So we got permission to put that in the book. The best food combining chart in the world was done by a woman in South Florida that gave us permission to use that. And so we, in her book, let me get my brain there. Her book is Dining in the Raw, Cooking with the Buff, Rita Romano. And we thank you, Rita, for giving us permission. I know you did a lot of work to put that food combining chart together. And of course, that's part of Laws of Living. We look at food combining and nutrition. We cover every aspect of life and how to make this energy system called a body work to its optimal potential. And so that's what we're here to support, and that's what we're here to be part of. And let's see if Dr. Tim or Michelle or Jeannie have had any luck with getting the control panel open. Any sign of it yet, Jeannie?
We are here.
Oh, all right, Tim. Thank you, sir. Not sure what's going on, but Jeannie just can't get a good enough connection to the internet to get the chat room, to get things to open today. So thank you for opening that.
Is Jeannie's area code 248?
I'm here.
Jeannie's area code is not 248. Well, that sounds
Michelle?
Like Michelle.
Yeah, that's me.
Well, you didn't put your hand up.
How are you?
I'm great. I don't know. I thought maybe that you did that intentionally.
I thought that was Jeannie's, and I'm she didn't have her hand up, and you didn't have your hand up. But hi, Michelle. Haven't heard from you in a while. How are you?
2 week countdown today till Jeannie flies into Lansing, Michigan, and so I am pumped. All cylinders go.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand that you ladies still have a couple of spaces available for, I think, three spaces for somebody who's going to stay in residence for the healing Women Healing Women that starts on the 15th of September.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's cool.
People still considering it, so we'll have the perfect group. I know that is shared.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, Dr. Tim, what's exciting in your world today? Anything that you're seeing in practice that we benefit from understanding, patterns, or anything to share with us?
Well, it's come up several times in the past 2 days in different sessions that people have been getting down on themselves and using the excuse to get down on themselves that they got triggered and that they shouldn't be getting triggered because they've had these tools and they must be doing something wrong. And that prompted me to relate something that happened on Friday. I was in a training all day Friday, and I had been triggered to about a level 4 or 5 emotional upset through the entire day. And the trigger was that the person doing the presentation kept saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." So I ended up driving home, visualizing, tapping, and breathing. It was an hour and 45-minute drive home. So by the time I got home, I was less agitated about it. And as I was getting ready for bed, realizing I had to get up early the next morning to go listen to the same presenter for another day, it all of a sudden dawned on me that I would be coaching somebody else to do something differently. So I just took a breath, and the thing that popped into my head was observation number 9 on my list of observations, that I'll never be upset about something somebody's doing unless I'm judging myself negatively for doing the same or similar thing. And then this phrase kept popping into my head. He keeps saying, "Do as I say, not as I do." And then I just breathed and thought, okay, where is it in my life that I'm not living up to what I'm teaching other people to do, whether it's in my food selection or how many worksheets I'm doing or how quickly I respond to getting triggered. And I breathed and I laid down on the bed, did a round of tapping, went to sleep, had a wonderful night's sleep, woke up the next morning. I knew I was going back to the same presenter, and my upset level never got above a 2 in the entire day. And I was able to be there in the moment, witness what he was doing that was, in my discernment, not productive, and just make notes about it so that just on the off chance anybody would ask me, how could we improve this seminar or training, I would have some specific examples. Was able to sleep well on Saturday night, send a very simple email offering feedback if anybody was interested, and move right into a couple different places in my life. Awareness came to me, oh, this I can make a shift in. This I can move my behavior more in line with what I teach other people to do, and then life is better. And I actually had one person say, "I don't like to hear that. I said, you don't like to hear what? I don't like to hear that you still get triggered. This person wanted to hold the fantasy that I don't get triggered, and so if they just do the work a little bit more, they'll never get triggered again. So that's been the theme for sessions yesterday and today. People who choose to use the excuse that they're beating themselves up because they got triggered, rather than looking at what's the real upset within them that they might use the forgiveness process to remove.
Yeah, and Tim, with anyone who beats themselves up over anything, I would venture a guess that at least 99.999% of the time, it's a power person dynamic that they're just playing out from within themselves. Their power person may be dead and gone, but if their power person beat up on them in a particular way when they didn't perform the way they were supposed to, if they haven't gone in and resolved that power person dynamic, then they take the place of the power person and beat themselves up, just do exactly the same thing. And so it's just another topic for worksheets. It's like, okay, another layer to clear out that power person dynamic. And in this space where, you know, we don't perform perfectly to approve of ourselves and hold ourselves in love and high esteem and move forward and do the next level of work. But there's always a power person thing in there, I think. Is that your experience?
Well, yeah, and if I can't get at it with just a plain reality management worksheet and some rounds of tapping to dissipate the energy, then I can either do the three earliest memories of conflict, or I can look for the power person dynamic, or I can look at a mind shifter, that it's safe and healing for me to accept myself as loving and wonderful and a work in progress. And, you know, there are a host of tools that can help me tap into the actual dynamic that's causing my upset. And what it takes is the willingness and the proper application of the right tool.
I'm in full agreement on that one. That's it. And, you know, it's just, it's like just as sure as night follows day, if someone will do their work, trauma will become a thing of the past. It's just like, you know, it's just not a necessity unless we determine that it is a necessity, and then we can do it as long as we want. But once we decide to let go of it, once we decide to forgive, that is, go inside and remove that dynamic, it just disappears from life. It's just, again, it's so amazing. It's as night follows day that those things just disappear. So, very cool. Do we have anything happening in the chat room or anything happening in the phone queue with anybody with a hand up?
Well, the chat room hasn't been opened yet. I'll try opening that, see if any stragglers come in. But we have a hand up again, area code 707. I'm not sure if it's the same one who was calling from yesterday, but 707, you're in the air.
I think that's Julie.
Yeah, it's me. How you guys doing today?
Hey there, young lady. We're rocking. Doing well, thank you. And just, that was such a delightful call yesterday. Just so awesome what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and I hope what I have to say today adds to it. I received a text from my cousin this morning stating, I love you. Mom is in crisis. I'm here to be with her. So my initial thought is, okay, is she in crisis because today she was going to tell her that she was into a care home for hospice, or is she in medical crisis and dying? And my initial reaction was to want to be emotionally upset, that imprintedness that has always been with me for so many years. And almost as fast as it was there, it was gone. And I just took the essence of love. I held my cousin from a distance in this because she didn't want to respond to me, you know, medical or not. And I realized it's her show and it's okay. And that, you know, Auntie was the one that was, I dropped my phone. Auntie was the one that's going to be leaving us. And it's okay. And I'm all right with it. And my heart, like, stayed on. It wanted, because I'm starting to old ways, started to go, okay, I'm going to dim out on you. And I'm like, no, something happened in me. And my heart light just started to glow again. And I like that term because I can really relate to it. So I am going to ask
great term.
That everybody please hold my aunt in space for her. She will transition somewhere in the next few hours. We're not going to even be able to get her to her care home. So that's a blessing because she's not had to suffer for long. And everything I went through with Claudia on the still point, I mean, I can't wait to do more. And I realized that there's always a lot of healing to do and all, but it gave me the foundation. And now I know what to look for. I know what to feel. And my heart's opening again, and it's been closed for years, you know, for varying reasons, and they don't matter. The point is my heart light turned back on?
That's awesome. Great way to say it. My heart light turned on. Yay.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And we turn our heart lights on and aim them toward your aunt and your cousin and yourself, and hold you in that space that the highest and best outcome as she transitions, that she's got support for going to the next level of her eternal life, that your cousin who's, you know, doesn't have the tools, so might be in some trauma, that she feels supported and cared for and nurtured, and we'll just hold the space and join you in that.
And also, if I can ask that we hold a space for my sister-in-law who passed from Legionnaire's disease on Saturday, so for her family. I've had 3 deaths in 7 days. And you know what? They're happy and I'm happy. And that's how I kind of look at it because of what I've been through. So I can't say thank you enough, especially to Claudia and the class and Dr. Andraki and you guys. Every day is just a new adventure and going forward with all of the tools available. And I made a turn. So that's it.
Well, congratulations for picking up your human life again. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, living's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's awesome. I mean, it's awesome unless we decide we've got other plans, you know. And, of course, the world teaches us to make other plans, and the game is overcoming the other plans. And, you know, it was such – if you haven't seen this movie, Awakenings, you'd really enjoy it. It's very powerful. And just the scene where Robert De Niro, who's literally been a vegetable for 30 years, and he comes back, mm-hmm. and he's like – he's realizing what he's got. You know, he can remember being a kid, but 30 years is gone, and he's like – you people, you're all asleep. You have a life. It's a really great scene. Really great scene. And he's explaining to the doctor who helped him recover, you know, man, Dad, wake up. You've got a life.
I'll have to watch that. That sounds
exciting.
Like it would be great.
Very powerful
film.
Anyway, very powerful.
And so with all of this that's been going on. And I also have to give credit to Yeshua. He's been a pretty phenomenal guy through this, too.
Hey, you know, I feel so blessed that I got to play with him in the with his first century Aramaic words and come to understand this. You know, rest assured, it all came from the first century Aramaic. I wish my brain were bright enough to have made all this up. And I just happen to have, and I thank my lucky stars often for, I don't know what I did to get to deserve to do this, but to have accessed that first century understanding that just takes things to such a space and such a level, it's beyond words. So I join you in that thanks to Yeshua for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, most definitely. So,
all right, young lady. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. That's just a great inspiration for everybody, especially, you know, one of the challenges in doing this is most people have tried so many things. Well, I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. But, you know, if I try with things that don't work, of course I'm not going to produce the result. So when somebody makes that kind of a shift and that creates that kind of an opening in their lives, as you have, and shares it, it's an inspiration for everybody to get, I could actually do this. And that makes all the difference sometimes, all the difference. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
May I share something? The word try is something that I have used, and I consider it the same definition as fail. Now, that's my personal opinion. When I quit trying and when I quit fighting the system, the tools, and everything, but I managed to keep up my work some days more than others. Once you just let it go, it happens. And it comes to you, and all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute, this is a aha moment or a ta-da moment, and wait a minute, and here it's happening again. So I just quit trying, and I just let it come at me, and that's what helped work for me.
Cool.
So if it helps for others, go for it.
Fabulous. And we hold the space. That, you know, there's a thing that the Course in Miracles talks about, and that's the transferability of understanding. So we hold the space that you're able to transfer this whole piece of work that you've done in this opening to every other scenario in your life. And you've processed some of them on the show in the past, and we processed some of them personally, and we just hold the space that you can transfer this understanding to each of those situations and do the same thing, because it applies everywhere.
Well, so far, so good. I'm not going to argue it. That's for darn sure.
All right.
Oh, gosh. Anyway,
fabulous.
Michael, Jeannie, Dr. Tim, and everybody, thank you for holding my Aunt Ellie in a space. And blessings to all, but I have got to run. I've got an appointment here and got to get that taken care of and get
be
home
blessed.
And get ready to go north. Okay. Thank
Travel
you.
Travel safely. And Aunt
Bye-bye.
Ellie, we hold you in our hearts. All righty. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye, blessings.
So let's keep those heart lights turned on.
Great way to say it. Great way to say it. And I am just so, it just resonates such gratitude in me to be part of it. Such gratitude. Thank you.
A wonderful
All
thing.
Right. Well, it, you know, it's like, doesn't get better than this. Doesn't get better than this. You know, it's like each time something like that happens, it's like, you know, some of this work has been in my own process, years of struggle, years of, oh, God, crazy stuff. But getting it down to the point of really understanding it and being able to actually hand it to somebody else in a way that they can work it, that they don't have to spend 50 years to understand it. They can just take it and go to work. It's like, whew, how cool. And, you know, that we've talked about that parable before, and it fits right here once again. And it's to me, it's a good reminder, is that parable that Yeshua tells about the guy who goes to work for the farmer in the field. And, you know, he goes in at 8 o'clock in the morning, he agrees on a wage, and he goes to work. And at noon, somebody else comes into the field, and he goes to work. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody comes in and goes to work in the field. And at 4 o'clock, the farmer hires another worker. 5 o'clock, it's quitting time, and everybody goes to get their pay, and the farmer gives them all exactly the same pay. And the guy who went in at 8 o'clock is like, whoa, wait a minute. What? I worked, I sweated, I toiled through the hot sun all day, and you're going to give the guy that only worked an hour the same as me? And the farmer says, well, I gave you what I agreed to, didn't I? What we agreed to? Weren't you happy with that? Well, yeah, but you're getting – it's like, you know, if I choose to give in abundance, I give in abundance. And, you know, the early adopters of this work, it takes some – sometimes some struggle and some hard knocks and working through things. But to me, it's just such an honor to be able to have synthesized it, to have spent all those years. You know, my part in the process of working with the Kabor's manuscript is that, you know, the translators translated it. Dan, my former partner, synthesized it. If there was a conflict, it went back out, and once everybody, 25 translators, once they all agreed, okay, then we agree we've got probably a proper translation. But there's one final test. It has to go into the classroom and produce the result. And that's the part I got to play, of taking it into the classroom and learning how to put it together in a way that we could hand it to somebody and, you know, and move forward. And so it's just so much appreciation for that. What an opportunity. It's like every minute of struggle and effort is totally worthwhile to hear one person tell the story that Julie just told us. It's just so sweet. So let us see if there's anybody in the chat room with anything happening or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up.
Well, the chat room is still in a techno limbo. And we had somebody with a hand up. Yeah, we had somebody with a hand up, but they've dropped off, so we have plenty of time. 646-200-4169 for today and tomorrow only. Press 1, and we'll see that your hand is up, and we'll announce you by your area code.
I love the way you handled that yesterday, Tim, of let's see if we can wear this number out before we're finished with it. That was cute. Very cool. That was great. I loved it. Let's see if we can really wear it out. So, and then that new number, of course, will come in Thursday. When you call into Thursday's show, let go of the 646 number, and the new number is going to be 516-418-5786. So as of Thursday's show, so tomorrow will be the last day we get to really, you know, get some mileage out of that 646 number, and on Thursday it'll be 516-418-5786. And also now, with the fact that we have our own channel on Blog Talk, we were under Earth Angels Radio, and we couldn't do, at least we never understood how to do the podcasting as easily as it can be done now. So if you have iTunes, we're already there. You can go and listen to all of our archives. And we're working on transferring the archives over to this new station. But if you have any kind of a podcast app on your phone, then you just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/mindshiftersradio. That's plural, MINDSHIFTERS radio. And you just sign up for the podcast and you'll automatically have it delivered to your inbox in your podcast program. So that's going to be make it easier and get things rocking. And so all things moving forward. So 646-200-4169, if you have a question or a thought for us, if you just push 1 if you're in the phone queue or if you're out there in on one of those stations that we don't have access to in our control panel, or you're in the chat room and the chat room isn't operating today for some reason, then just call that number. Push 1. If you're in the phone queue and you push 1, you'll be talking to us. And we would love to support your understanding of this work and your ability to really, truly bring the work into perspective in your life, in your world, with the opportunities that you have. And make transitioning to higher and higher states of awareness easy and doable. So anything happening there, Tim, with the chat room? Or chat room's still down, so with the phone queue, I guess.
Yeah.
That's all we've got to look to now.
While we wait for someone to put their hand up, I've just had the thought several times, the images in my head of the story you tell of the person who was absolutely convinced that you could not remove a parking lot, an asphalt parking lot, can't be done. And he called the company that was advertising it, got all upset. Why are you advertising this? I know it can't be done. And the guy said, what are you talking about? He said, well, I know for a fact you can't remove an asphalt parking lot because I've been trying for 15 years. And the asphalt parking lot removal guy said, well, what do you mean you've been trying? He said, well, for the last 15 years at the lunch break, I've sent every one of my employees out to the parking lot with a toothpick to try them to get rid of that driveway, and it hasn't worked. And the guy from the asphalt driveway removal company said, well, sir, I have a bulldozer, And if you tell me you want your driveway gone, it'll be done tomorrow afternoon. The moral of the story...
Gotta have the tools.
the parallel meaning to that story is, with the proper tools, you make light work of it.
Yep.
So we did have a hand go up. We have 808 back on the call. And Roma, you're in the air.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, the food... there was a conversation I mentioned yesterday on Facebook about addictive substances among marijuana specifically. But when you think about it, we are addicted to food. But it's, you know, there's no way you can be in a human body without being addicted to gravity and air and food and sleep, you know. But these are addictions.
Wait a minute. Can I offer some coaching on that?
Sure.
Let's start off by defining addiction. You know, I love what Socrates said. Let me define the words, and I'll end the argument. So a lot of people are conflicted over words because they don't have the same definitions. So remember that in the context of this work, addiction is the compulsive use of any person, place, circumstance, substance, or activity in order to avoid hearing and following our highest guidance, or in order to avoid feeling and dealing with what's going on inside of us. So gravity isn't addicting, it's just part of life. Food isn't addicting, it's just part of life. It's what we do, we eat. If we eat in order to hide our guidance or hide our pain, then it's an addiction. But to eat is not an addiction. It's just when we use those things in order to either hide or avoid.
Good.
That's when they
yeah.
become addictions. And of course we can and we can use anything, you know, television, you know, reading books, you know, running off and hiding in the bedroom can be an addiction. And when we wake up and handle
well,
the pain,
repeat the words. If you would, please, repeat the words that draw the distinction between what I was perceiving and how you define, which is something about avoiding the last phrase about avoiding feeling.
So addiction is the compulsive use. You know, somebody can have a glass of wine and they're not addicted to it. They have a glass of wine. It's the compulsive use of any person, place, substance, circumstance, or activity to do one of two things. One is to avoid our higher guidance. Some people have called it conscience. So when my carbon-based memory has said, let's go out and sock it to them, and my conscience says, Michael, you're a human being. You don't need to be socking anything to anybody. You need to function as a presence of love. I can shut that up with a fifth of scotch. And then somebody can feel good about going ahead and battering somebody else. So that would be addiction. So it's that avoidance of our higher guidance that creates stress, and to anesthetize that stress, or to hide and anesthetize the pain that we feel so we don't have to deal with it. The majority of people in my experience use addictive substances or situations in order not to feel their pain. And for the person who's in a lot of pain, who's locked into addiction, when they apply the tools and let go of that pain, then everything changes. And it becomes a whole different game.
Yeah. I remember at Heartland back in the 90s being surprised and shocked that I was holding in the palm of one hand some sprouts, some live food, and that was all I needed for the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much energy in just that amount of food, just what I could hold with one hand.
Did you see the tray of sprouts that I took a picture of?
I certainly did.
Facebook the other day. Now that's our Heartland. You know, we manufacture that Heartland Otter Sprouter, and that tray weighed almost 25 pounds, and it came from 4 ounces of seeds.
Isn't that amazing?
And those things were so vital and so alive.
Oh,
it's just
gosh.
Amazing. That was just, and Ari has been experimenting, and he found a way. You know, we've been growing those for years, but he's found a new way to approach doing them, and they just grew and grew. And, you know, when you put sprouts in the fridge, they stop growing, usually. These sprouts did not stop growing when we put them in the fridge.
What was his secret that he discovered? What he's been doing,
we've been doing a couple of things. In our auto sprout machine, we put ozone. And before he starts growing them, he sprays them with hydrogen peroxide, with a mild mix of hydrogen peroxide. And then, instead of normally what we used to do is spread them out all over the tray. Now, what he's discovered is, it's like these guys like community. And he just stacks them up in a pile in the center of the tray, and they just go to town and start growing. I mean, and like that tray of sprouts, from seed, total dry seed, to that 25-pound tray of sprouts where the sprouts were, and they were, you know, usually when they get big like that, they're kind of bitter and hard to chew.
Right.
These sprouts were 8 inches long, and they were sweet and juicy and easy to chew. I mean, they were awesome.
Wow.
And so that's the secret.
Oh.
Yeah,
just
pretty amazing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the
ozone.
You know, I don't know what the numbers would be today, and I think that especially with some of the crazy stuff that the government's doing with food, you know, I mean, we're discovering things like you know, rat meat being brought in from China and being sold in American restaurants as boneless chicken wings. We're seeing tilapia being brought from places like Vietnam, where they're grown in human feces and waste and mud. And the last 2 weeks, they put them in fresh water to clean them out, and they're selling them as fish in America. And the government is getting ready to remove. There's legislation before the Congress right now to remove all country of origin information about all food, so you won't know where anything comes from. And I think it's kind of, you know, an inspiration for people to go, maybe I need to start to get back to responsibility for my own food, just like I need to get back to responsibility for my own life. And the people who are going to really carry forward are going to do that. And so the auto sprout machine is something that we're looking to really put into production and make available to people in the future.
Where, that would be great.
You know, we had an auto sprout machine that someone had donated to us 20 years ago. And we had a problem with the part. Pardon me?
I think that was me.
That donated the auto sprout machine?
Yeah, it had three layers.
No. This is a big sprouting machine that actually it was Tony.
It was huge. It was like 20 by 20.
Well, somebody donated it 20 years ago. It came from Tony. And,
I had one like that. I think I must have ordered one. Anyway.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I had it in HANA.
Okay. Well, I've never seen it. But anyway, great.
Anyway, your point.
Anyway, a part went bad, and we contacted the manufacturer and ordered the part. And he said, by the way, if you know anybody that wants to buy the company, I'm getting old and I'm not going to build them anymore. So the company's for sale, and we bought it lock, stock, and barrel. And so we manufacture them here at Heartland. Yeah,
it's now
a Heartland company. Yeah. Now, we don't have anybody currently working on that. We'd love somebody to come and partner with us and take that project over, because I think it's the food of the future. You know, they did research, and I don't know exactly what it would be today, but back when I first started sprouting, you know, 40 years ago, somebody had done some research, and I think the number was 53 cents, that you could get every nutrient you needed, proteins, amino acids, everything you needed for 53 cents a day out of sprouts. It might be $2 today, but, you know, it's pretty awesome nutrition, pretty tasty.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I remember how shocked I was when the government made it illegal to have alfalfa sprouts in salad bars anymore. Did you know they did that?
That's why we don't have alfalfa sprouts
in salad bars anymore. I don't know what their reasoning was, but they make up all kinds of silly reasons for what they do. Yeah, well. Well, that's interesting. So, So you bought the company?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's part of Heartland. We actually have a building on the property that's designed just for building the sprouters.
Oh my gosh.
So, but we don't have anybody building them right now. So, you know, it's a sort of
okay,
an unfolding
well,
project.
You're throwing the seeds out into the universe.
That's it. Sprouting.
Somebody will show up and with their hands waving, saying, "Hey, I'm it. I'm it."
That's the plan.
That's great. That's great.
All right.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to see the Heartland Auto Sprouter, they can go to our website and just put in Auto Sprout, and it'll take you to the page. There's a picture of it, an explanation, and all of that. But it'll grow 5 to 25 pounds of sprouts every other day once you get it started. As I said, the ones that we took the picture of and put on Facebook were 7 days to that stage. And,
And the hydrogen peroxide was a low level or a high level?
Yeah, just a just a real light spray, 3%
like
of food grade.
3%. You buy that in the drugstore, right? It's the 35%.
Not in a million years. No, no.
Oh, you
not
don't?
Not in a million years.
3%.
No, don't ever do that if you're going to put it anywhere near or in or on your body.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at it for years, but when I first started using hydrogen peroxide, which is about 30 years ago, I did research, and back then there was only one company that didn't put mercury in their peroxide.
Oh my God! Really?
So when you go to the drugstore and you buy mercury that you're going to put on your little kid's cuts, you're rubbing, or pardon me, when you buy hydrogen peroxide, you're rubbing mercury on your little kids, and mercury is just one of the most toxic substances on the planet. Don't ask me how. You know, it's just like with vaccines, the same thing. You know, it's crazy, but that's what's being done. But yeah, you have to do food grade. We do food grade for the spray, and then you can actually on Amazon. This is just a good piece of information to have. For $80. You can buy an ozone generator. It's a small machine that's designed to use in your kitchen. We wash and soak everything in ozone. You just push a button and it generates the ozone, cleans, washes.
Right.
It's fabulous. So,
I bought it 8 years ago, and I ozonate my water. I go to the EL Valley and get the pure water that has just
nice.
And then I bring it home, ozonate it, and alkalize it. So, yeah, I've had that. And that machine, you know, the man who recommended it, he said, this is the greatest buy of the century. Because it's like, $65 or
no
something.
Question.
And it lasts forever.
Yep.
It's still going strong.
Yep.
It's 8 years old and it's still going strong.
Yep.
Yeah, so food grade hydrogen peroxide, where do you get that?
Health food stores, or you can get it online. You can get it on Amazon.
Okay. Well, okay.
And also, it's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah. Also what?
Complete.
You're done. Okay. All right. Well, aloha, everyone.
Aloha. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Be in touch. All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If we can support you with any of this conversation, you know, the whole food game is an important and becoming more important to take responsibility for your food with the all the gyrations that are happening in the culture around food. It's just bizarre, just beyond bizarre. And I just got the signal that we're down to about 90 seconds, so I'm going to say thank you, everybody, for your participation. And Dr. Tim, thank you for your support for jumping in there and getting the control panel up and operating. In the meantime, we are underway with Laws of Living. If you're not too far away and you want to get in, we've still got space. We're just getting started. So if you showed up a day or so late, we can catch you up, and we've got space in the intensive for participants. And it's looking like there's a possibility we will do a Laws of Living class in Florida this year again, along with probably codependence. I'm not sure, but we're looking at that as possibilities. And so all things moving forward, if you're interested in either of those things, let us know. And if there's a particular intensive, you know, we actually haven't done a Course in Miracles intensive, and we haven't done an intuitive development intensive in a few years. So if there's enough interest, we'll schedule those. And so let us know what you want and where you'd like to go next. And we're delighted and honored that you're with us. And we support you in creating the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
I choose to live more consciously. evolving continuously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, as we present the Internal Aramaic Process of Forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael, myself, or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.